Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we travel to mysterious places deep within the recesses of our abdomen and our soul. And we look into those places together, fearless, not fearless, with fear, fearful, but with courage, because we're together. I'm not afraid to go anywhere if I'm with you, my friend. It's so dark. Where am I?
You are having a colonoscopy.
I'm in my own colon?
What? You're not in your own colon.
I thought you said I was having a...
How is it possible to be in your own colon? That's physically impossible. Now Popeye can bend over, put his head between his legs, and insert his head up his own rear, creating a hideous flesh Möbius strip.
Oh, okay.
In your own colon.
So where am I?
You are in some drug-induced state while they explore your bowels for illness.
It's kind of dark in here.
Yeah, well, they shut everything down just in case. It's like when you turn the power off to the whole house when you're installing a ceiling fan. Just in case.
But why do that?
You want you should get shocked?
No, I mean, why not let me dream?
What if you started acting out your dream and thought the butt scope was some alien snake that was hidden under the seat of your spaceship and was working its way up your spacesuit leg and into your nethers?
Oh, jeez.
So be content with thinking nothing at all. You're good at that.
Man, why are you giving me such grief? I'm just laying here on my left side, passed out, minding my own business.
While your intestines are being used as a movie set. They're doing a remake of Tarkovsky's Stalker. And as we speak, the doctor is positioning little tiny action figures in your diverticuli.
Maybe they're doing a Land of the Lost episode.
Man, you are lowbrow.
The last thing I remember saying to the anesthetist was, you started it, didn't you?
Started what?
The drip of the drug that knocks you out.
And then?
Then nothing after that.
Weird, right? You're conscious, and then you're not. You have memory, and then you don't. Consciousness is feeble, ephemeral, and ghostly.
Man.
Don't you wonder what other things have happened to you without you knowing?
But I've rarely been anesthetized.
But even not under the gas. Your senses are very limited. Your awareness, weak.
I guess that's true.
There could be an interdimensional being floating behind your head like a bowl of cream of wheat, and you could go your whole life not knowing it was there.
Well, that seems crazy.
And this being is causing things like when your cufflinks go missing.
I don't own any cufflinks.
Yeah, anymore.
I feel fully aware. What?
What's going on in your heart right now?
How would I know? It's beating.
You're just guessing. It's your heart and you don't even know.
True.
You are unaware of the functions of your body at any level. You have no idea how your brain works. The best awareness of your body you have is like, oh, there's blood in my stool.
There's not, by the way.
I don't care.
So, where is this place we are now?
I assume the operating room.
You mean... No, I mean you and I right here talking.
The operating room.
No, I can't see or hear the operating room. I mean, where are we now?
The operating room. That is physically where you are. That you can't sense it proves my point. You are woefully inequipped to say where you are. You have no idea.
Will I remember this conversation when I wake up?
No.
Wow, really?
Not only do you not know where you are now, but you won't remember anything. Now, tell me again about how you have consciousness.
Hello, good sir, and thank you for being here for the panel discussion of my new book about the life of William Boone Frash.
Thanks for having me.
Did you like the smithereens?
Oh, very much so, yes.
You have to concentrate very hard, and then it's only the prime numbers that can bring your thoughts into the future.
Mm-hmm.
When you fall asleep in the car on long car trips, looking out the passenger side window, your forehead pressed against the cool glass, and you groggily open your eyes and see the trees blur by, do you know when it is? I mean, do you know if you're 15 or 50?
Hi, I have an appointment with Dr. Humai. I'm Hardy White.
Just have a seat over there, Mr. White.
All right. Mother's World, Craft Monthly. Not a great magazine choice.
Hey, bub,
Yes?
You here to see the doctor?
Yes, I am.
What if I told you I could do anything she can do, but for less money?
Well, I don't pay anything. I have no co-payment on this. I've got SHMO.
What if I told you that I will pay you to let me be your doctor?
At first glance, that would seem like a good financial decision.
I give you $20. You let me make a movie of your colon.
You know, I feel like that'd be underselling myself. And I trust Dr. Humai.
But what do you even know about her?
Well, she went to medical school at Emory, and she plays the violin, and she writes comic books.
Wow. She sounds really cool. No way.
Mr. White? Mr. White?
Oh, that's me. Why are you standing?
That's me, nurse.
Right this way, Mr. White.
Well, hey, I'm Hardy White.
We'll be with you in just a minute, Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown?
Sorry, I swapped identities with you. Now you're Nut Brown.
Nut Brown?
William Boone Fresh.
The poet?
If you say so.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, thanks for letting me come to your colonoscopy with you.
No problem. Butchie says I won't remember a thing.
Nope. Dreamless sleep, like death, I imagine. There will be a seamless continuum between the moment you drop off until the moment you open your eyes in the recovery room. Your notion of time will be messed with.
What about this, though?
Oh, this is an old memory. It's just running in the background.
It's nice.
Yep.
I already had this memory, so when I wake up, I won't remember.
This one is nestled.
All right.
Anything you want to do, like fly or meet Wallace Berman?
No, I'm good just hanging here. My memories are missing big chunks of time when I'm not conscious, aren't they? And that's a lot. And on top of that, I don't notice hardly anything. And I'll forget all this, too.
When I first started on radio, I mainly talked about two things. Colon health, and I would do a drosh on the weekly Parsha. But you know, as the show has evolved, it has changed. It has changed over time. That's what evolution is, just like our bodies change over time. Did you know that the hands you have now are not the hands you had as a child? They dropped off, much like baby teeth, and new hands grew out of your arms, Stubbs. No, that's not true at all. I'm sorry. Everything, in fact, grows together. Now, Mr. Rogers had a song like that. He said, everything grows together because you're all one piece. Now, when I heard that as a child, I was terrified because I hadn't even thought that until he put the fear in my head. What do you mean? I didn't know that was possible. Do we not all grow together? And I imagined that my head would grow to enormous proportions. I'd look like Billy in Family Circus or something. But my head is so huge. Or my hands. Look at my giant hand. Oh, this is fun. Now I'm better at a lot of things. But this is not true. Then I learned later that it was true, that in fact some things continue to grow your whole life. Not your curiosity, not your thirst for knowledge or love of mankind necessarily, but your nose and ears. They grow. You see older people. That's why Drew Friedman's had a career. Some say, oh, look at Shemp, his ears and his nose. That's what we see in the old folks. And nose, if you live to 200, who knows what you'd look like. Your nose just keep going. The possibilities are endless. And some things keep growing even after you die. Your hair and your nails, I am told, keep growing. And that's where we get the myth that sometimes if evil spirits hold sway that you can come back out of the grave as Wayland Flowers Madam. And that's because people would open up graves and say, what is this? Look at the nails. They need a manicure, but the length is impressive. And Nosferatu. We remember Nosferatu from something. We haven't seen the movie because you can't sit through that. But everybody's seen the image from the posters that we have in our dorm rooms. So you have a dorm room? Hardy, you sound like an older man. Well, I do just to save money. I'm living over at the school now in a dorm. I wish that were true. I'd have a better social life maybe. Or maybe not. People say, I don't want to be friends with the older fella. So come on. You can listen to my records. Kids love that. They go, you have record albums? Yeah, come on over. I've got vinyl record albums. Sit down. I put on a comedy album. Okay. Go, what is it? I'm Dolemite. Oh, all right. See, I've mixed feelings. I don't know. It's funny. I don't know if I could sit through the whole thing. I'll tell you what. I'm going to play a couple Red Fox cuts, then some Dolemite, and then my friend's band. Oh, that's how you slip it in. And then people have to listen. Oh, my friends, recently, I bring up my colon because I had it inspected. You know how when you're a kid and there's fire week and they say to you, you should go home and make an inventory of all the things plugged into your wall and then chastise your parents and say, you are endangering my safety. You have too many things plugged into this wall outlet and it could start a fire. And that, I'm told by my school people, is a sign of weakness or something. I don't know, but let's correct it. And we do that now with colon. So I want you to go home and say everybody needs you get your colon looked at, just as you would have somebody from the electric company come on in and look at your AC and see if you qualify for the city's loan program to get a new air conditioning. And I don't know if that has to do with if the city has one for your rectum, but if you have it, all access to health care, or just maybe your curious neighbor, you should have do a scopy on it. That means that's Latin for looking at it with a camera. And camera is Latin for a thing yet to be invented, but which can be conceived of, and which we see sometimes when we hold up a lens, which is yet to be invented, in front of a wall or something. And that's how we invented the camera. Imagine all that going up your rear end now, all those old-timey camera things. The doctor's got a big box and he has to put a black cloth over his head and everything. But now that it's the size, I'm imagined the size, something smaller than a human stool, because it effectively goes in there. Now that I went in for one, because all older folks, they say, let's have a look at it to prevent colorectal cancer. And I said, okay, let's do it. I'm for it. Now the day before, they got to clean the place out. It's just like if you're selling a home, the realtor will come to you with his super powerful laxative and say, we need everything out of the house and we got to paint it earth tones. Now, the equivalent is that you got to drink only clear liquid. And it's funny, the clear liquid doesn't have to be clear. I found that out too from the instructions. I read the instructions sort of piecemeal, you know, so some things I had already done wrong by the time I got around to it. It's like, don't eat any little plastic toys or anything because they're going to interfere with that. It'll be fun, though. No, don't try to have fun with it. We're seriously looking for polyps, etc. Do you remember polyps, etc.? That place in the mall? That's not there anymore. So they're going to stick this camera up. So the day before, you have to clean everything out and drink this laxative, which is repulsive. I guess that's part of it, is they say, hey, learn a little sacrifice. You're going to fast, all right? And you're going to fast, and you're going to drink this bitter thing. It seems like it was exactly like a Jewish holiday. So drink this to remember bitterness, all right? And then you're not going to eat, okay? And at the end of that, we'll see. We're going to look in the Book of Life, i.e. your booty, and see what's inscribed, e.g., polyps or whatever have you. Now, I did what I was told and I got everything out of me and I didn't eat and I vacated the premises and the premises vacated me. Now, that a lot of people complain about, and it's uncomfortable to have explosive watery diarrhea. And what does it sound like? Listen to Clay's show. I think he has the sound effect on there, but it's awful. You know, and you go, what's going on? What's happening to me? This is not a familiar experience, but what it happens is the chemical they give you, it draws moisture out, and it draws all this moisture into your colon, and it basically flushes it out. It's amazing, and it just opens those floodgates like they're the Los Angeles River, whatever you call it, and all of a sudden this place that was just spotted with 50s racing cars is now... The floods come down there and wash it all out. And it's an amazing thing to behold in your behind. And then the next day is your appointment. Before that, you have to take your mother to the airport very, very early. I don't know if that's for everybody. That might have just been me. But if you don't have a mother, you could probably skip that part. Then you get to the place and they say, you know, who are you? And they ask you multiple times because they don't want anybody there taking your place, pretending to be you and get their colon examined. Because a lot of people do that. I really need this job, so I'm going to send over a ringer. And they're going to have their colon looks exactly like mine because it's my cousin. So then I went up and I was certified, just like on Twitter. They put a little thing next to say, yes, this is your behind. And you go back there and you get in these little shorts that have a breakaway bottom, which is fun for both. I guess they're originally used for vaudeville. And, you know, so you start to go off the stage and they grab you and the pants, the back come off your britches and there's your bottom. And that's hilarious. And so put those on, put the gown on. Then they come out and they tell you all sorts of things like, we got to tell you this could kill you, even though it probably won't. That's just, we have to legally say everybody has this done. It's very common. Everything's fine. Also, you could die or something like that, but you're going to be fine. And they put some things in you, stick some needles in you. Now, I noticed something about nurses, and I love this. I love this about all people who give care for a living, is that I love the details of their workday, like what they actually do and what they care about and what's important to them. And they're very particular about their tools, if they do their job well. Everyone is. And I never thought about this, that medical professionals say, I like this certain type of needle, or I like this certain one. This one I'm putting this, jamming this into someone's vein. I like this kind of tape or this. And I love that attention to detail. It's just like all people do any kind of craft, right up to brain surgery and right down to, I don't want to say the thing that's down at the bottom because they're all beautiful. You know, it's hard. It's a lot of things I can't do, like when you're building a house or doing surgery. I could try. I wish Time Life had a surgery book because the carpentry one is so good. But I don't feel qualified to do it, so I'm glad others are called to do it, and they made me feel at ease because I was a little scared because they're going to, what they call, put me under. Now, I've never been under, the last time I was under general anesthesia was the kind that makes you vomit violently and say insane things, and that was when I had my teeth out when I was 17 or something. I had my wisdom teeth removed, and I won't even joke about that because I believe they removed my actual wisdom. After that point, and I think it was the anesthesia. I don't think it was the teeth. I'm not that foolish. But after that, I just woke up, said the F word in front of my mother, vomited blood. It was awful. But this time, I knew the one that they were going to give me. I was just going to be talking mid-sentence, go to sleep, and wake up, and no time will have passed, and I won't have any kind of hangover. And that freaked me out a little bit because I'm obsessed with memory and time. And I thought, how is my colon related to memory and time? This is going to make a fantastic thing to talk about with friends. And I thought, oh, maybe my bottom's some kind of metaphor for time, some time tunnel or something. And I thought, get out of there. That's crazy. Let's not imagine that we're in a colon and it's like a cave or something. But if it were, I wondered if the operator of the camera, I'm not sure who does it. It looked like there's a lot of people in the room at the time. So there's assistance to assist. People learning the job. They don't want to say that's what they're there for. Yes, I'll be there to assist the doctor. You're just watching, aren't you? Yes. But that's good. I want them to learn how to do it. And correctly. But I would be curious that if they'd go in, they're in about 3 or 4 feet in there, that they don't see very tiny cave drawings, like in caves in France. That something very small has put its hand on the wall of my colon and then taken its torch and outlined the hand in soot and then drawn with soot on my colon wall the animals that it hunts and for which it has nothing but respect. The antelope, the elk, the other one, taper. One of them is a Bible name, and one of them is some kind of pig. And there they would be, inscribed on my colon. But I knew that wasn't possible. There are no things that live inside of you. Not like that. Not like that, at least. Tiny creatures, perhaps, but not little human beings.
Wearing animal skins, I didn't think that for a moment. But I wanted to. I wanted the sleep that I slept to be a dreamful sleep. I wanted to imagine crazy things. I wanted to wake up thinking I had been on an adventure. But I didn't. Time compressed. And the last thing I said to the fella, it's funny, the anesthesiologist was a very, looked like a rich lady or something to me. I said, oh my goodness, who's coming up to me? Did I not, am I membership dues due at the country club or something? She said, I'm like the super doctor. Because it's at the university. And I think, oh, you're like Professor so-and-so. Wow, all right. I said, yes. And this, I'll tell you what, somebody else is going to do it, but I'm here within beeper distance. Okay, that's good. I'm technically responsible. All right, that's good. And then I met the person who was actually going to hit the button on the drip. And they looked like somebody I was in a band with, and I got nervous. But I shouldn't be. Everyone there is more qualified than I. That's all I require when I hire anybody to do anything, is that the dumbest person on the team be smarter than I. And I'm positive that was true. Oh my gosh, such learned people. And I want learned people putting which is like a plumbing snake in my booty with a little camera on it. I'm fascinated by it. So next thing I know, I'm waking up in the recovery room. And I said, can I get off my left side? I feel like I've been on it for eternity. And I guess I had for maybe an hour, hour and a half. And I took the opportunity to take a little nap, you know. But I started to come around and I thought, what just happened? I have no memory. All that time is gone. I was there, but I wasn't there. And I fell asleep in the car ride going up to New Jersey for the WFMU marathon. My old friend Scotty C. from Tennessee was driving that car or that van or that minivan or that car minivan. And I was sitting in the passenger seat and it was late at night and we were listening to Professor Dum Dum or something on WFMU. And I started to nod off and I started to sleep and I started to go into one of those states where the thing on the radio started to become the thing in the dream, a beautiful state. I loved it. I was both awake and asleep at the same time. I was unconscious, but I was conscious in a way that I'm usually not when I'm awake, and it was beautiful, and I lay there in that wonderful being, and I thought, you know, I think I even am keeping track of time, even though there's no way I could operate heavy machinery or something. I was asleep for sure, but I wasn't asleep. But in this anesthesia that I got, all that was gone. There wasn't any. I didn't hear them going, oh my word, look at this fella is, let's do the DNA test on him, because I think he is mostly, not even baboons. Baboons have a smooth bottom. This is like, and even gorilla, I don't even know what, it's like some kind of monkey or something from this angle. I'm sorry. I don't know what part of the family that's from, because I didn't examine that part of all my ancestors. And you'd think that'd be something you had left in a family Bible or something. And your grandpa, your great-grandpa, Brown, is very hairy behind. All right, I didn't need to know that. We thought you'd want to know it at some point. You don't know what your aunt, your descendants want to know about you. Oh, you should leave a will like that. Leave a will that has every horrible memory and every silly detail about your life and body. Isn't that what your descendants want to know? We want to lie to them. We want our descendants, who are our children, who are part of us, we want to lie to them. And we want them to think we're somebody we're not, and that gives them anxiety, because then they don't know that their life is perfectly normal. They start feeling like, well, you know, great-grandpa, he had an insurance company when he was 10 and all this. And it gives you a distorted view of people. Makes you feel like maybe they don't have feelings, or maybe you're feeling too much or too deeply or something, and you're making a mess of your life. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you, things are wonderfully messy. Don't let that keep you from looking into the mysteries. What mysteries are those? Well, the mystery of your colon. I was a little scared to look up there, and I still haven't gotten the results of everything. But I feel better for looking. Because I can't control the future. I can't control what happens to me, but I can open my eyes and observe as much, and it somehow feels linked to my consciousness. The more information's coming in, the more alive I feel. When no memories or no information is coming in, I don't feel alive. Oh, help me stay curious as I age. Help my curiosity grow like my earlobes. May I have giant comical earlobes of curiosity that take in all the sounds. Hear, see, feel, smell no evil. That's the only one I want to do. The other ones I can take. The smelling, I don't want to smell evil. Well, to others, but I don't want to. Not funny, that means both things. You can, what do you smell evil? Am I evilly smelling? Or do you mean, do I smell evil? I do smell something. What do you smell? I don't know. It smells like halfway between a toaster waffle and gum. I don't know where that spot is, but that's what it smells like. And that's not what the stuff I drank smells like, that laxative. That's still stuck in my, I have a taste memory, and it won't go away. And now I also associate it with unpleasantry. However, my friend Vicky sent me a copy of James Garner's biography. I think it's called Garner Files. James Garner played Rockford. And it's his life story. And I've got a lot of reading done in that. He's born Bumgardner was his. Isn't that funny? So I'm reading this. I'm sitting on the toilet. And I find out that James Garner, a hero of mine, his real name is Bumgardner. B-U-M. And that one of his brothers was called Bum. Bum Bumgardner. Is that right? Hallelujah, I'm a Bumgardner. For all you out there like old-timey music. And I got a lot of reading done on that, so it was a blessing. And I don't know that I would have sat down there and just read that, but now I know a lot more about Norman, Oklahoma than I did. Oh, my friends, it's so great to be with you today and sharing these things. Get your colon examined if you can. Take a look into those dark spaces. When we finally arrived up there for the marathon, Big Fresh Matt and Scotty C from Tennessee and I, we drove up together in the mystery van. And Scotty's wife had actually put a big decal of the Scooby-Doo mystery van on the glove compartment so that if we were pulled over, the police would see that and go, oh, okay, the glove compartment has a Scooby-Doo on it. Mm-hmm. You guys must be okay. We're all right, officer. We're actually on a case. Okay, you go on now. Where's the dog? We left the dog. Dog seemed funny. Yeah, I know. And his handler seemed funny. You know, his shirt doesn't look clean to me. I don't know how they did that, just making it blue. I have such great respect for cartoonists. Oh, the things that you can convey. Driving up there, got to New Jersey, snowing. Oh, my goodness. Driving into New Jersey or the mystery of it. Who will we see? All our friends at the station. What will happen? The adventures await us. You know, when you go into the big city, for people like me from the small towns of this great over here, we pull in and go, well, what's going to happen? Something very, very good or something very, very bad or some mixture of the two. Or then after the fact, an admixture of sometimes when you mix something back in that's already been mixed in. Like transportation inconvenience. So we get to the big city, everything's going fine, and it stayed going fine, and it was amazing to see people. And when I got to the station, I received a package. A package was there waiting for me. And somebody came up to me, Scott or Joe or one, said, hey, Hardy, you got this package here. I said, what is it? And they said, we don't know. And I said, all right, well, Joe, go ahead and open it for me. And I wasn't afraid. I joined in eventually. I thought, you know, it's got a return address. It looks okay. So we'll open this pack. But you understand, you know, it's unsolicited mail is kind of scary. It was scary and mysterious. So we opened it, and there was another box in it, an old-timey-looking box tied with cloth. And we opened that up, and there were, first of all, a lot of old fabric in there, and two, what it looked like ceramic gnomes in this box. Now, I hope I'm not telling you too much. So we took those out, and underneath were a lot of papers, and there were some envelopes, and there were some letters. Now, I won't go into specifics because I don't want to tell you too many details because I don't want to give things away because it's a wonderful mystery, and I'm going to let it out over time. But it said something to the effect that these two fellas are looking for another fella, what looks like a gnome, and he has accrued some debt throughout time, and they are contacting time travelers because their firm is assigned to collect this debt that has been accrued through time. And they was asking me, as a time traveler, could I possibly look into this if I see this fella to report his whereabouts because he owes a lot of money over time. Then they gave me the proof, and the proof was a dossier that in it contained legitimate promissory notes. One from, it's going far back as the 1780s. Can you believe that? All in there. And it was all the pseudonyms of this person who'd accrued this debt through time. Now, I looked up the address of the firm, and the address of the firm was in the sub-sub-basement of Grand Central Station, a very mysterious place. Did I go there? No, of course not. The mailing address was from a park in Jersey City, in the middle of a park, a gazebo. I said, well, that's very strange. You know, this is truly mysterious. And I think I was probably meant to get to the bottom of the mystery while I was in Jersey City, and yet I brought it home now. I'd love to go to some of these places, see what's really there, see if I can find this mysterious fella. And I will look for him through time travels. But this mystery was wonderful. Somebody had sent me this wonderful mystery, beautiful art, thing I will never forget. What a memory. You see how memories are made through mystery? Oh, by looking into places that we're drawn to by our curiosity, places that may not give us answers or complete answers, and yet we go there anyway. We wonder, and our wonder takes us. Oh, my wonder takes me forward into the mysteries of life like I'm walking into a giant colon or opening a box from a friend. When you're traveling to New Jersey, the whole world opens up. There could be tragedy or blessings. Who knows what's rhymes, ups, ups, bumps. I forget what I said already. My goodness, my friends, I'm so glad to be with you. I'm so glad to be sharing my life with you. And I know a lot of people like to talk about their embarrassing, but they're not embarrassing, human, like medical procedures and everything, because it's a way of saying I'm a person. And I would normally maybe, this thing would make me feel small, but by stating it out loud, I actually feel more connected to everybody. Say, oh, you know what? I said this out loud and people knowingly nodded their head and they go, yes. Yes, my sibling, I too have felt that. I too have experienced that. Here's something I've experienced. Oh my goodness, I haven't gone through that yet. Perhaps you will someday. That's why I've always loved speaking to older people or people with very different experiences than I have. Everybody is writing a travel brochure for their friends. I've been somewhere you have not. Here you go, friend. It was lovely. And people, oh, you feel so much warmth for the people that take care of you, don't you? When you're shown compassion like that, when people think about your feelings, like a medical professional or something, it just makes you feel good. You go, oh, another human being who gets it, they know. They've seen it with their own eyes, what suffering is. And they understand. They understand there's all sorts of people. A lot of times people can't control the way they are. Let me tell you, have patience with people's crazy personalities. They don't always have control over it. Why would someone choose suffering? When you see someone suffering by their stranger or what do you think, destructive behavior, know that they're probably not really choosing that. Who would choose pain? So try to understand. You can help without blaming. Oh, I'm not blaming you, my friend. I'm not blaming you for the fact that there's still stickum on my chest from getting those heart monitor things. They insist on knowing whether you're still breathing or your heart is beating. And I imagine that I came out the other end okay. I guess I'll never really know, right? If I perished during the procedure, perhaps all this is a dream. Well, if you're dead, it's not a dream. I don't know. Maybe it's all my brain firing its last thoughts in this last second. If a second like that was the last second I had, I think it would stretch into eternity for me because I wouldn't be able to perceive the other side of it. The last thing I remember before going under anesthesia is like my last thought. It seemed to ring like a bell. Even after I was out. Isn't that interesting? No, I don't know that it is interesting. It is to me. And when I get into strange situations that I am afraid of, I love it looking back. Because when I did that, I was brave. And going, well, that's not very brave. It is for me. If you do something that's difficult for you, oh, you do feel a sense of accomplishment. Don't compare yourself to others. It might not be difficult for them. So I took the bus. Any fool can take the bus. But I didn't think I'd be able to take the bus. So for me, it's a big deal. I took the subway. I didn't, though. I had friends show me how. I know that's sad. I could do it, but I would have to be in such a heightened state of awareness that my head would explode. I'd rather go around in kind of a, I like to notice things, but not so much that I can tell where I'm going. You know, because I notice more when I don't know where I'm going. I notice more when I wander. If I'm thinking about getting someplace, that's all I think about is that destiny. When I have no place to go, or when someone else is leading the way, all I have to do is look around. Look around at the things written on the wall. There wasn't a lot. I was disappointed. I could have seen more written on the wall, but that's all right. I went inside the Oculus Prime train station that looks like the inside of a whale, a great whale's ribs like that. I felt like Jonah. I said, oh Lord, spit me up upon a beach. I am ready. I will go to the king of Nineveh and warn them. And I went to the king of Nineveh, and the king of Nineveh rent his clothes and covered himself in ash and said, I have sinned. I am wrong. I will repent. And I realized at that point that all my prophecy was pointless. But I had helped a person. But now I seemed like I was wrong and stupid because the thing that I warned that would happen is not going to happen because the good change came. I hope I am wrong, because all I really want is for you to be right. No, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean. I don't mind being wrong if I can help you. Oh, you're helping me, Hardy? How? No, don't tell me. Don't tell me or I might do something differently. I think just being with you, hey, next time, they don't let you take a phone or a recorder or anything, but I would love to talk you through your colonoscopy if you had one. I think they wouldn't let you do that. But I would love to be the last thing. It'd be fun. I'd do a 2 or 3 hour show, and you'd listen to it, and then the propofol would kick in or something, right? And you'd wake up, and then you just kind of make a note of where you are in the show. And then maybe it would make sense, and you'd never miss that part in the middle. I'm going to do that. Even though I know they won't let you listen to anything. And you can't smuggle it in because you're naked. Excuse me. I had to cough. I cough when anybody says naked. Excuse me. I think I was hypnotized at a fair. And again, I don't know what happened. It made the same thing. I wonder if any of them hypnotized me. When you wake up, you'll be interesting. No, they didn't do that. I would have noticed. When you wake up, you'll have hair. I don't think that's will. I don't know if I could will it. I wouldn't mind being hypnotized and say, you're going to grow hair on the top of your head. Really? Oh, that'd be interesting. Oh, not because I'm vain, just because it'd be fun to have something to play with again. I miss having, at Halloween, it limits you. You go, I guess wigs. But it'd be wonderful if it was your own hair it could do things with. Look at me. I'll dye it, or I'll cut it, or I'll lengthen it. But I don't have any. It fell out. And I remember when it fell out. Not the instant. It happened over time. But at some point I had to take a long, hard look in that mirror and say, our bodies change over time. Our bodies change over time. Things start to break down like an old rotten stump. I got a tree in my yard and some of its limbs are dead. But the tree continues to grow because it wants to see its grandchildren graduate from college. Oh, my goodness. At some point, it'll topple over. That tree will be gone, that silver maple. But right now, some of its branches are already gone, beginning to fall off, reminding it of its mortality. Oh, I am a tree. I may seem eternal. I may seem unmovable. I may seem impervious to winds and rain and all that sort of thing, but I too will die. And then I'll be gone. And then my wood will rot and they won't be able to make a home out of me. I don't want to be a home. I want to be a home for insects. I don't want to be a home for a college basketball coach. I don't know. I just said that. It could be anybody's home. But I know those require wood and timber and all sorts of things like that. And gold, lots of gold, gold wallpaper. I remember when I was young, my grandparents had this, you know the kind of wallpaper. It's silvery gold, like gold leaf, but also fuzzy. I think it was purple fuzz. Purple fuzz, purple fuzzy fleur-de-lis on gold metallic-y, look like gold aluminum foil or something. Gold foil, maybe that's what it was. Fuzz and foil or something. I don't know what they called that kind of wallpaper. A lot of people had it. My grandparents were not unusual, but I was unusual because I just liked to rub it gently with my hand. And they couldn't see me doing that. I said, "Why are you rubbing the wallpaper? Get your filthy hands off of it. It feels like Pat the Bunny. It feels like the whole wall is Pat the Bunny. Can you feel Daddy's fuzzy cheek? Pat the Bunny. I hope that put your finger in the ring hole. Pat the Bunny. Feel Fuzzy Bunny's fur. Do you have that book? That book was written, I'm doing quotes. Who wrote it? I'm working on this book called Pat the Bunny. I've been working on it for about 5 years. And I'm stuck on sandpaper. What does that feel like? Maybe Daddy's face. What's wrong with your father? His shape. He only has a one-track razor. I know the type. My grandfather had a type of traditional razor blades, the kind that you see on heavy metal albums, and had a little, puts that in a razor and scrape his face with that. He did that every day. I don't know if even, I can't remember whether disposable razors came around, and he'd call that a safety razor. Isn't that funny? For him, it was. For middle of the century, he goes, "Yes, I use a safety razor." And I go, "Oh, the one that rips your face off? That's the safety razor." But see, the alternative is like the kind, the Sweeney Todd cut your head off kind. You know? Those that you sharpen on a strop. How can a piece of leather sharpen a blade? That must be a sharp blade. Even this smooth piece of leather is rough next to this blade, which is so sharp that it can cut through atoms. Democritus, if he had gotten his hands on this, would say, "Look at that, I guess I can split an atom." If he had been cutting that cheese, Democritus, and he had been able to get to the smallest particle and then divide it, everything would have blown up. So I'm glad he didn't. He said, "I'm just going to have a concept. I'm going to stop with just a very tiny piece of cheese, because if I get to an atom and split it, there are no more pre-Socratic philosophers." He knew even then. Oh, my goodness, wisdom. Where's it from? Which end of you? Your brain or your bottom? I think there's wisdom in my bottom. My bottom does one thing well. Well, probably a lot of things, but sits well. Oh, and also the waste evacuation. It's great. Gets people out. It's like going, did you ever go to some place that's real efficient? Like whether it was a restaurant or something, they go, "Man, they get people in and out there so fast." I feel like my digestive system is like that too sometimes. Now, sometimes it gives me troubles. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes it backs up a little bit or things go wrong, just like any well-oiled restaurant. But for the most time, it works well. It's like the post office. People go, "Oh, darn post office. What, they mess up once? Do you know how many times they deliver the mail correctly? Can you not consider that? Oh, mistakes always jump out like that. But how many, all the times that things go right, you know? That's when they tell me about, well, you could die. But really, mostly things go right. Understand that. Understand probability and everything. It really will open your eyes. Oh, we can see a lot of the world just using ideas that tell us something. Ideas that we can, if we repeat the process, we get reliable information. We can sort of predict. So we get an idea that maybe we are seeing part of reality if we can predict it. If I have ability to predict something, Maybe I'm seeing it clearly. Oh, yes, that's the proof, isn't it? Prediction. That's how you know something's right or not. Is it? I don't know. Think about it. Talk about it with your class. Make sure it's a class that's in another subject so you can't, no one will question you closely. So I think we're on, in my, pick a class, biology class. Actually, it's incredibly appropriate for biology class, so don't pick that one. Oh, we can learn so much from each other, can't we? I hope you can learn something from me. I mean, you can learn something from any watching any dumb thing, really. You could learn something from watching a leaf blow in a gutter. You could. You could learn something about the wind. So you could learn something from old Hardy White, even though you're not learning that thing from Hardy White. You're learning how things affect Hardy White. So then you can learn something. Oh, when you say everybody's your teacher, it doesn't mean that you give them all this authority over you or that you're inferior. It just means other people have things to teach you. I love it when kids are able to teach, when a kid knows something you don't know and they're able to be a teacher. They really rise to the occasion. They really get very serious about it, and they want to do it well, and they're very proud of what they know. I love it. It's like people just inherently, naturally like to share things that they know. And I like to share things that I've been through and share my stories with you. Because I know that, hey, you're taking a car trip to see my in-laws, Hardy. I'm going to help you out. What if I talked about my butt for an hour? I'd love that. Do it. Okay, now listen, tune in. I know there are plenty of other shows that interview people, give you information about the world. We'll tell you about court cases. We'll tell you about police cases. We'll tell you about things that have happened in science or history. This is a story about a guy who was a general in the Civil War, but he also invented a space helmet. Why? Because he had visions of aliens. Tell me more about Colonel Nut Brown. I will. But I am not one of those other shows. You're going to experience something different with me. It is like passing out right before some exam. I want you to be able to let yourself go. Perhaps you will think nothing. Empty your mind. Woo-wee. I want you to be an uncarved block for a minute, just like on Gumby, the blockheads. Well, they were carved, though. That's a bad example. Let me think of something else. Some kind of block that has yet to be carved. Let's say you are going to the craft store and you buy a cube of balsa wood and you're going to make something with that balsa wood. Maybe it's a puppet head for a marionette. Maybe it's a smaller cube. You're going to whittle it down. You're going, it was a big cube, now it's a small cube. How do I know? Trust me. Balsa wood. It's the light wood out of which you make gliders, little planes that you can throw in the backyard and then fly into the neighbor's yard over their fence with the five vicious dogs that then chew it to pieces, balsa wood. I like to make things. I like to make things out of memories. That's what you do anyway when you make things. If I was to make a pot or something on a potter's wheel, I would be using my memories of watching someone else make a pot on a potter's wheel. If I was doing a colonoscopy, I would remember that time that I shadowed Dr. Husaheimer. And he showed me how to do a colonoscopy without nicking the colon and causing death in the patient. And now I do it. And now I teach it to some other young person who's like, please, teach me how to do it. I will. Let's make a toy colonoscopy kit out of a plumbing snake and a GoPro. It's just a toy, though. So we're just going to use our imaginations. But I think it'd be fun. And then I play scientist. I like pretending I'm things I'm not, even though I'm an older person now. When you do it as a young person, they're like, oh, they're trying things out for their future professions. So he's pretending to be a doctor, or she's pretending to be a firefighter, okay? Or they're pretending to be an air traffic controller, all right? But when you're older and you do it, they go, well, he's 50-something years old. I don't think he's just pretending to be a cowboy. Are you starting a band? No, sir. Well, you're trying out different professions, so why are you dressed up like a fireman or a soldier? Stolen valor. I'm going to go to Kmart dressed up like this and have people thank me for my service. No, don't do that. But I don't know, if you were in a play or something, it'd be okay. All right. Yeah, no, I'm in bus stop. All right. Fantastic. That's okay. That's adult pretending. No one thinks you're going to grow up and be Dr. Zhivago. You're just pretending to be Dr. Zhivago. That's right. But if you're a young person doing it, you go, maybe someday I'll be Dr. Zhivago. Maybe. Who knows how much it's going to snow. Been snowing quite a bit. When I got home from New Jersey, I found that snow had taken out both my power and my cable, and I was left in the dark ages with only cell service. So I managed. It was okay. It was no big deal. It got a little bit cold for a while, but then I was back on the internet and raring to go. Oh, friends. Being up there at the radio station in Jersey City, seeing all my old friends, reconnecting. You know, people come and go. You know, you see them some years you don't. You know, and then your friends, people do perish because they're, you know, they're mortal. Some of them are immortal. I won't say who is. I don't want to blow the cover. Because when you say someone's immortal, people will not leave you alone in bars. They go, you're immortal, huh? Well, how about this? And you go, dum-dum, they're immortal like a echinoderm or something, like a starfish. Okay? I mean, unmolested, they will live forever. But if you cut off a limb or something, it might regenerate. I don't know. But you could destroy it. Don't crush. As a rule, just don't crush any of the WFMU folks, and you'll be okay. Because the ones that are mortal are going to go anyway, and the ones who are immortal are just going to keep going and keep going. Bless their hearts. Bless your hearts. Oh, none of us live forever. Because we're not one piece, things come off, and they drop off because of gravity, and your feet will fall off because you're not one piece. Everything grows together. But then at some point it doesn't. Your body breaks up like a couple splitting up. It's true. Mr. Rogers could have combined a couple different concepts and songs. Say, sometimes when your body gets old, it doesn't like each other anymore. And it wants to split up. And things fall off of it. So you have that to look forward to. But I love you and I'll be here and I'll care for you. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. Things are rough. Things are rough and they're crazy, and we deal with it. I'll be here for you. And I won't be perfect, though. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to wear a perfect sweater or something like that. I can't, because I'm struggling, too. And I'll let you know that that's okay. You can struggle and still help people. You can fight, still be human. I love it. So come on with me. Won't you come along with me to my 70s cartoon? And part of it's live action, and there's puppets involved. The adults are taking drugs. They're ruining the show. Yes, oh, my friends. We're going to be together as long as we're together, and then we're not going to be together, and that's going to be fine. That's going to be fine, too. Hear my wish. My wish is that we spend every possible moment we can with each other. Not a lot. Well, you know, not so much we get tired of one another. But that we maximize the joy and we maximize the love. And regardless, I'll be here when you need me. That's why I love the radio. That's why I love that. Because you can tune in whenever you want. You don't have to be here all the time. It's not me dropping by daily like a neighbor bothering you or something. You can come to me when you need me. And that's beautiful. And you know you'll never make a mistake because you're not going to go to the barber when you need to go to the greengrocer. Unless the greengrocer's name is barber. And I got all confused. So there you have it. And I thank you so much, my friends. We're nearing the end of our time together, but I want to tell you one last thing. And it's about donuts, oddly. And it was about one of those lonely hours in the early morning when you're driving, when Scotty C. from Tennessee is driving you away from New Jersey. And you're reflecting on all the things that happened. And you're half asleep. And you haven't even had a decent cup of coffee yet because the Airbnb had one of them Keurig devices. Is that what they call it? A Brannock device? Where you put the coffee in and it tells you shoe size. I messed that joke up. Whatever. People don't even know what a Brannock device is nowadays. What's your shoe size? You just automatically know it. It's on your foot. You used to have to measure it with this crazy contraption. Not anymore. Not anymore, my friend. But I lay there asleep as we were driving, and we were driving home, and we were thinking about all the experiences that happened to us, and I was drifting off, and I was thinking about my lack of coffee because of that device in the Airbnb that didn't provide me with the right kind of coffee. And so we agreed that we would pull up to one of these donut and coffee places as we headed out of town. And as we headed out of town, 1 hour passed, then another hour passed, then I believe about 3 hours passed. And I just made it the rest of my night. I just went back to sleep as Scott drove, and Big Fresh Matt snored in the back seat like our teenage son. And then we pulled in to one of these places. And I kind of groggily woke up and looked out the window. I saw trucks and truckers getting their coffee. There wasn't many people in the place. We pulled up to it. I walked in the door. And I said, Scott, I'm going to use the bathroom. And he said, all right. So I went into that bathroom and I used the bathroom. And I came back out and there was still nobody in line. So I got in that line. Yes, I washed my hands. And I ordered a coffee and two donuts, a glazed and a cake donut, to go. And they assume that. Why would you sit here? That's why we didn't put any chairs. We don't really super want you to. Those really are to sit in when you're waiting for your to-go order. All right. And he gave me my coffee. They ask you how you want it. I said, what do you mean? I would have specified. I just said coffee. You mean I have to specify when? I didn't say any of these things out loud. I said, no, my friend Black. And I got my donuts and I got my coffee and we got back in that car. And I opened that little tab up there, and I took that first sip of coffee, and I burned the end of my tongue off like I was putting a stick in hot lava. And it was gone, and it was scalded me, and it took away all my taste buds. Were burned off by this coffee, lava coffee. And I bit into that donut, and it was the most, even though I couldn't taste it, it was the most beautiful taste in the world. It was so sweet. And I thought, I'm going to chew this donut slowly, and I want that sweetness to linger in my mouth, just like I want the sweetness of my visit to the WFMU radio station, seeing all the DJs and all the volunteers and everything, how sweet that was. I'm going to let that linger. I don't want to ever forget it. I know I will at some point. But just all these people there for the same reason, because they love a thing. You know, they're not really there for each other, though they love each other too, I'm sure. But what they love is the music and the freedom and the creativity. They love that. And to be with others who share that value, and you, the listener out there who share it, who want to go on adventures, who want to look into mysterious places, who don't want to know where they're going necessarily, who believe that if they don't know their destination, they can learn even more. And be even more observant, and by taking more in, more information and memories, becoming more conscious. And that's what it's all about, waking up. So wake up, my friend, have a coffee and a donut as we drive away from New Jersey promised land, and we head back home, and we wait for another year, where we can open mystery boxes and have someone look in our rear. That came after the trip, though. I didn't do it up there. I thought that'd be a fun thing to do in New York City, though. I'm going to go to New York City, and I'm going to see a show and have a colonoscopy. People don't really say that, because the New Jersey ones, the ones on the New Jersey side are even better. Like I said, you can get probably, they'll pay you. I don't even know. No, then with the tax and everything. I'd get the toll if the bridge wasn't so expensive. Oh, my friends, we are at the end of another hour together, and I'm so glad to be with you. Let me remind you what you've been listening to, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, or online worldwide, WFMU.org. Oh, my friends, that was the station ID with suppressed burp, which is a technique that I have down pretty well because of my stomach. I'm so glad to be with you, my friends. Stick around. Listen to more radio. I will be with you again next week.